from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nowadays, I do think it motivates these guys differently. It's just when you're talking about, I want my $30 million contract annually, I don't care what the adjusted rate that is compared to like what guys were making in the 70s. It's going to be fundamentally different. There's a lot of money at stake. I think that's why you don't hear about Mark Clayton and Mark Duper at each other's throats for the Dolphins. Great tandem in Tecmo Super Bowl.
But is George Pickens, like overall, whether it's from the Steelers or one of the other 31 teams, is Brandon Ayuk being here really going to take money out of his pocket? I don't see it.
It has a better, in my opinion, it has a better chance to put money in Pickens' pocket. If he has a season, let's just say for argument's sake, Ayuk ends up here, and I end up being proven wrong, and he looks like a very good option for them, and he functions.
Now, in this hypothetical, is Juju on the team too?
No, he's not.
Oh.
In this hypothetical, though, Ayuk looks like a bona fide number one, and they have two number ones, kind of. If Pickens puts up a season where he has 70 to 75 catches for like 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns, nobody is going to worry about did George Pickens do enough. They're going to say that guy is basically T. Higgins to somebody else's Jamar Chase or vice versa. He will be viewed at that point as a true number one around the league because he will have put up numbers with Ayuk here and before Ayuk got here.
I agree with that. I don't think it's going back to Juju.
And I think Pickens is canny enough to understand that. I do. People keep saying like he's this incredibly volcanic personality, which at times he can be, but that doesn't mean he's dumb. In fact, most of the people that say like George is an emotional guy also say George is a very smart guy who understands what's going on around him.
Yeah, but even
despite what people say about
him, Batko said he thinks when Ayuk gets here that it makes Pickens a one contract guy. You know, Ray has talked about, Fittipaldo said the early outbursts in camp, he's got to tone that out unless he's here for only one contract. Like, the people around the team do not seem to think that he is cut from the Hines Ward, Antonio Brown, even Deontay Johnson cloth, where they're around for more than just their first contract. Like, it does seem to me like within the Steelers reporter community,
mm-hmm,
that they do think that overall it would turn into a this town's not big enough for the both of them situation with those guys. And Pickens would just be putting up numbers for the Steelers now, but it would just be an overall audition for when he goes into free agency. That's my read on it. But that doesn't mean that when those two are here before he leaves,
wouldn't it be
a
good problem to have?
Yeah. Cancer.
I just think that wouldn't be the worst problem to have. If he goes to greener pastures, so be it. But he knows the thing I always go back to with any discussion like this is the player has to know that they've got to put up the numbers first to go get what they want, whether it's here or elsewhere. And that supersedes it. You might not like having him here. You might not like part of it that he's already got his money and you don't, but you have to put up the numbers.
Donnie, do you disagree with us? Do you disagree with us that Pickens would be an a-hole with Ayuk around?
No, I actually don't think so, because he will be more frustrated when it is week one and it's Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins on the field and he's getting double teamed the entire game.
Will he feel better if it's Juju out there with him?
No, because they'll still get double teamed the entire game, because the person opposite him is almost zero threat.
I don't really have a comeback. I don't think that Juju's a great threat, but I think he is a better threat than what they have right now.
But
he's still not much
of
one.
Their
second best threat is going to be the tight end.
Okay, well then, change the word. Change it from threat to receiver. I think he's good enough to be their second best receiver.
I just don't.
Among the guys that they have on the team technically right now. You trust Calvin Austin in a big game over Juju?
I actually think I do. I've seen Calvin
Austin.
Based
on what? He had one catch against the Raiders and nothing else.
Yeah, what's Juju done?
He had one great catch against the Steelers here last year, so he matched him
there. What did Calvin Austin's great catch go for?
A tutty.
And what did Juju's go for?
It was a big game. It was not really a chance to turn it into a touchdown. He had to catch the ball off another human being's body.
Okay, I'll take Calvin Austin.
Here is Sean in Pittsburgh. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
I'm gonna be at the game tonight, but I don't.
Nice.
I don't think Juju's a good fit for the Steelers. I mean, we lost Claypool because of Juju.
What do you mean?
Well, if you take a look, Claypool didn't get the shine like he should have because they kept wanting
Sean,
to get the
I got news for you. Claypool
kid.
Sucked.
No, he was good.
No,
Claypool was good.
Why has he done nothing since?
Contrary to Sean in Pittsburgh's opinion, Chase Claypool blows.
Yeah, okay. Juju blows because he had a
2 years ago, Juju made a play to win a Super Bowl. What was Chase Claypool doing then? Kicking some guy's head in a parking lot somewhere.
Okay. Juju won that Super Bowl, but here's the thing. He did it on a bad note because he did it with a bad call. Nobody held him.
Oh, so
he caused the Eagles
good for him. Good for him to be an actor then and draw the penalty. That's good football right there.
No, it's not. That's what you call wanting to get a Hollywood deal and not be a football player.
Is that what you call that, Chris?
I'm sorry. My brain shut down. Like, you know how, like, when Windows is running too many programs, sometimes one can just crash and bring the whole thing down? That's pretty much how the old brain felt trying to follow that
logic.
That
was Sean Claypool calling in to give his take.
Chase Claypool has played for 3 teams in the last 2 years. He went to Miami, where, you know, you'd say, oh, in McDaniel's offense, high-flying Chase Claypool. 9 games, targeted 7 times, 4 catches for 26 yards, folks. Chicago could not wait to get rid of him. Literally, was it even a full year after acquiring him?
No, I don't think it was. He was just a joke there.
4
One
catches
of the great trades
for
in Steelers
51 yards
to
and
get
a touchdown.
Joey Porter Jr. for him.
It just very bad football player.
But Sean thinks that Juju blocked Chase Claypool from being a budding star. Interesting. Here's Mark on the fan. This one's in Munhall. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy
hey, man.
Friday.
You too.
So yeah, I was just calling because of the whole wide receiver situation, obviously. But here's a take that I haven't really heard so much, because all I see on Twitter is everyone hyping up Omar Khan as the con artist and what have you. And I think he has done a good job with the draft and everything and bringing in the 2 quarterbacks for next to nothing. But no one's really mentioned that. Like, what was the plan with trading Deontay Johnson, who is at least your number 2? I guess you could probably argue he's wide receiver 1. And this Ayuk thing is kind of just they lucked their way into because he's disgruntled. I haven't heard anything about if they knew that he might not be playing for San Francisco before they traded Deontay or anything like that. But it seems to me like he just completely has mismanaged the wide receiver position. And you get these quarterbacks in, if they don't have anybody to throw the ball to, obviously.
If they for some reason start the year and Van Jefferson is their second best wide receiver, then I will agree with that. That for all the praise Omar Khan has received for the way he reshaped the quarterback room and the way he went about the draft and getting Patrick Queen here and all those things.
He's reshaped the O-line. I think
sure.
They have a better looking roster, period.
If they, in a passing league, If they're running Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin out there, I agree. That is a valid criticism.
Well, I think there's also a criticism to be levied that if they knew they could get Dante Jackson or thought they could, if Carolina was going to cut him, why trade Deontay when they did?
Apparently, our listeners did not like all the praise of Connor when people go like this. Now, is that the one Kabali likes, or does Kabali like the Omar is coming? When we have
no, he likes that one. He likes that one.
Do you know what that's from, Malzi?
The Wire.
This is from Star Trek. The Wrath of Khan.
What was Khan's deal?
Oh, wrathful.
But what was he up to?
Filled with wrath. Oh, probably just dominating galaxies, intergalactic, pirate of sorts, pillaging probably.
Was he an alien or was he a human?
Khan?
Yes.
I'm going to guess
was he
alien.
Like a Darth Vader type, or was he just a regular guy?
Oh, well, I mean...
Was he a Yoda type? Was he like a non-human looking character?
That's actually a great question. The Wrath of Khan.
Who is Khan? William Shatner is very upset with Khan.
Big Bill
there.
Shatner.
Khan!
Genetically engineered tyrant, Khan Noonien Singh. Mm. So he was I think he's an alien, because genetically engineered... You know who played him, right? Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, that was not going to be my first guess. I thought it was John Candy.
He's a fictional, let's see. He controlled more than, you know what? He must be human. He controlled more than a quarter of the Earth in the 1990s on Star Trek. They had something called the Eugenics Wars. I'll tell you what, you have to have a hell of an imagination to come up with Star Trek.
This crap, man.
You got to really be a great imagination.
All right, two things here. Do you want Juju Smith-Schuster back? He was released by the Patriots today. 412-928-9370. Mulsey saying he could play for the league minimum. 412-928-9370. And do you think George Pickens will be a problem with Brandon Ayuk in the fold? 412-928-9370. Best call wins tickets to a big event next month. Our preseason coverage is brought to you by Smale Kia and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Our unofficial pregame show starts in about 30 minutes. Can text us on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. Donnie is a headline, and we're right back on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We ask you to come clean and in great detail. Brought to you by WetGo. Go Unlimited. Sign up at getgocafe.com/unlimited today. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. Before we get back to your calls, Franklin Regionals, Spencer Lee, Silver. Congratulations on all your success, Spencer, but he wanted gold. I would say that this was a bit of an upset there. I did not watch the match. I do not know much about the technical aspects of wrestling and how it's scored. Who knows what these...
Why, you always talk about being great, you know, Dino Bravo being a great technical wrestler when we're watching, like, Royal Rumble from 98.
No, he was not a great technical wrestler. Wherever. Who knows...
That was Rick Martel, sorry.
Who knows what the... these judges, we never know what these judges, they can be corrupt. I hate to say it, but it's just a fact. So maybe he got screwed on points.
He wrestled a guy who's considered basically the other best in the world and just lost.
No, I'm of the opinion that the number one seed was knocked out early. That's what Donnie told us.
But the guy he wrestled from Japan is very
well,
good.
He became the favorite when the guy got knocked out.
So you're saying that upsets aren't possible unless the United States is the one springing them?
No, I'm saying that this would be like, let me make a football analogy.
Please.
I think Spencer Lee losing this match would be like if the, I'm going to say if the Chargers beat the Chiefs in a playoff game.
How would that be shocking other than the Chiefs rarely lose? They have Justin Herbert.
Okay, so this is not a shocking loss, but still, he should.
But you just questioned the judging.
Well, that's right. Damn right I'm going to go with my guy Spencer.
That's
here.
Pretty ugly American behavior by you. Can't take a loss.
Well, I don't know all the details, but you pointed out...
You just said you don't even understand how it's scored.
Well, I know, but you have said before, fencing, very corrupt. These judges...
Fencing,
at
wrestling, not the same
I'm
words.
I'm just saying wrestling has, a very dirty history when it comes to scoring at the Olympics.
Name one incidence of dirty scoring at the Olympics.
1988 in Seoul. Go look it up.
That was boxing with Roy Jones Jr.
Okay.
Not wrestling, notably. Got anything else?
It looks like Higuchi got him with a last-second takedown.
We don't see exactly. Did it really happen before the...
I mean, a takedown's pretty cut and dried. Did you take the
but
guy
did,
down
but
or
it
not?
It was 2-2.
Did he do it in time? Did the clock
last
really
second
expire?
Last would suggest that... Seeing
sometimes
as my timeline,
the ball is in the hand and it's at zero and they still try to count it, that might have happened here.
Seeing as my this area is insane for wrestling and nobody that I follow... is tweeting about Spencer Lee got robbed. This is a miscarriage of justice. I'm going to go ahead and say he lost fair and square.
I'm also pretty sure there's not judges. I'm pretty sure it's some guy, official. Like an official, one single person that scores
it. Well, there you
it.
Go. Well, then the official might need to be called into question here. Hmm. Maybe they need
what
to
what if
add,
we got the official on the air and said and just turned you loose and you could accuse them of being corrupted
don't
on
you,
the take?
Don't you think for a championship match they should look into adding a second official?
No, because they do a one official for every other match.
But
who do you think the official is? Earl Hebner?
In the World Series, they add
Nick
extra
Patrick?
Umpires. They add extra eyeballs. You want to make sure you get everything right.
All they add is two guys who basically get to do only foul lines in the outfield.
Yeah, and they only do that for the playoffs in the World Series because they're bigger games. I'm just saying, this is
so
the
what
gold
if the
medal
two
we're
officials
talking about.
Disagreed about something? You're bringing in way more...
Fine, then...
Oh, so then that just all null results null and void.
Yes.
Start them over again, boys. You just did something
that
exhausting.
That actually might be a good thing. That way, the cinchy calls, like the ones that are right on the borderline, you just take those out entirely.
I think you are full of an ocean of crap.
I don't know. Who are these wrestling aficionados that are telling you that he lost fair and square? Can you name
it's
one of
the
them
It's the lack
me?
Of people saying that he lost in a miscarriage of justice.
Who are the people
justice?
That you would think would be commenting on the miscarriage of justice?
I bet
you
Vince DeAugustine, who owns Manor Valley Golf
Text
Course,
him.
A wrestler in his own right. I'm going to say, Vince, did you watch Spencer Lee?
Did he get
Was
effed?
It fair?
Did he get effed? 412-928-9370.
What if I just say
That's
that
fine. I'm
with
trying
no
to go.
Context.
I'm trying to go to bat for the guy, and you're not. That's okay. If I have... If people want to accuse...
Well, you're impugning all these officials. You're suggesting there was a multi-pronged conspiracy to keep Spencer Lee down.
Very possible at the Olympics.
Then why didn't they just knock him out before the medal round?
Because they wanted the drama of it.
The drama of
it! If anybody wants to get on my case for being too patriotic or for supporting a local guy too hard,
that's fine. I'm going to text Vince right now. I'm going to text Vince and say, Spencer Lee get a fair shake?
Here is Matt on the fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hey, first of all, don't have your butt, have your finger on that cut button or whatever it is, because I have a foul mouth.
Oh,
that's a good way to start.
What
the
an
call.
Intro!
Hey, well, just being honest with you. And two, why wouldn't you bring Juju back?
Because he's not good.
Ask Malzi that question. Not
well,
me.
That,
said
that was
it.
The question. That was actually towards Malzi. I mean, all of
he's
us.
He's slow. He
receivers.
Doesn't get open on his own, and he's not really good anymore. And the stats back me up on that.
Okay, but who do we have to block? Not a single one of our receivers blocked. They're all pansies.
George,
I mean,
Pickens,
anybody,
George
anybody
Pickens
that's
used
willing
to,
to
was
step
known
in front of,
for putting people on their wallets.
What's that?
George Pickens, known for being a violent blocker when he feels like it.
Oh, okay, but once we get, key word, when he feels like it.
You want to bring Juju back. You think it's worth paying veteran minimum to have a guy be in there as a glorified offensive lineman on the outside. There might be offensive linemen who are more dangerous as pass catchers than Juju.
But who are they going to get? I mean, and then as far as Pickens not whining, as soon as you bring,
Matt, I'm going to give you the tickets to the concert because you managed to not swear and also use the word pansies.
Did he lose his train of thought there at the end?
I think he did, but I bailed him out.
I was wondering if he thought he
caught
said
himself.
Something bad, but
he didn't.
Himself. And then he said sorry to us anyway.
Can tweet us, brought to you by Southfield's Kia in Peters Township, if you want to let Mulsey know that he's wrong about Spencer Lee. The guy should have won today. He should be bringing a gold medal back to Pittsburgh. The Bucko Minute with Zangrilli is next, and then we get into our PM team unofficial pregame show for Steelers and Texans. Dan on the Reeling Buckos next in our Bucko Minute, but first a timeout and a headline.
Two-strike pitch, struck him out, threw it right down the middle at 100, and the game ends. Another one-run defeat. This time the Padres earn the sweep as they come back in the ninth and win 7-6.
Right around this time yesterday, that's what the sweep of the Pirates by the Padres sounded like, dropping the Pirates to 56-58. They're 9 out in the NL Central. They are 4.5 out in the wild card, half a game out of last place, and they are headed out west to play the first-place Dodgers and the red-hot Padres, who just took two games from them here in Pittsburgh. Not good, Bob.
No, I would say so. I would say it's actually quite bad.
But it's still time for a Bucko Minute. And the effervescent, very cheery Dan Zangrilli is joining us, brought to you by Super Lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, your home team. Injured in an accident? Visit LGKG.com. Dan, you had the post game off yesterday. If you were at the wheel, what would have been your takeaway? Would it have been managerial malfeasance down on Federal Street, or would have gone with something different yesterday?
I don't know. I think everybody, for the most part, was in the right place from a relief pitching perspective, but I see a guy that's going tonight, Mitch Keller, that would have looked really good on the mound yesterday. Obviously, the Arizona and San Diego series were of utmost importance, more so to an extent than the Dodger series, because obviously, you know, the wild card situation, and to go 2-4 in that six-game homestand is just, or I'm sorry, what was it?
One and five, and it should have been 5-1.
Yes. I would have started Keller yesterday because he was rained out 4 innings, 60 pitches. I think
who makes that decision, Dan? Is that only Derek Shelton's call to make it not Mitch Keller, or is somebody above
him? Yeah, who do we get
him?
The pitchforks and torches out for here?
We need to be directed with our ire.
So it falls at the feet of the manager ultimately, but there's a lot of input from a lot of people, starting with Oscar Marine and the air quotations here, the pitching group. So there's a lot of folks that have input on that, I would imagine, and they collectively come to the decision. But like anything else, when you're calling a play in football, the head coach has veto power. I would think that the manager has veto power, and he can scratch that. Maybe the pitcher or the player has something to say about it himself. But if I'm going to venture a guess, Mitch Keller probably would have wanted the ball yesterday. He'll take the ball anytime, right? That's just how
he likes regular rest, from what I heard.
Yeah, and I see no reason as to why they couldn't have brought him back yesterday, threw him yesterday. I think yesterday's game was maybe a little more important than tonight's game for the obvious reasons. And that's what I would have done differently, to answer your question.
Do you think that David Bednar should and will be stripped of his closer duties for the time being?
I'm not necessarily going there. And this has not been a good year compared to the lofty standards that Bednar has set. Before game 2 against the Padres, and even though He was protecting a lot of three-run leads. He did rack up 19 consecutive save opportunities. He's obviously been more prone to giving up the long ball this year and has done so over the course of those 19 consecutive saves before the other night. So I'm not going there just yet because, you know, he did have some struggles in the early going. He did come through. I think that that's a pretty big voice in that clubhouse, pretty big veteran presence. And am I going to make a – I guess I'm still in that spot where, Chris, I would consider it a knee-jerk reaction, just back-to-back, essentially less than 24 hours of a rough patch. Now, I'm thinking a lot harder about it if something crazy happens tonight or tomorrow. Absolutely.
Dan, O'Neill Cruz decided to not hustle, and he got thrown out at second base. Shelton, for whatever reason, did not get asked a question about that last night or yesterday. We had last week physical error, trying to do too much. Yesterday we had not trying hard enough in creating an out on the base paths. What should have been the Pirates' response to that move?
So, and not trying to cop out here on that, I know he's been under the weather big time. Now, that if you can't play, you can't play. That's something that you at least the optics are so bad on that you've got to take yourself out of the lineup if you can't give 100%, especially in a critical situation like that. I don't know what's going on with O'Neill Cruz. The more this goes on, the more you start to wonder, like, hey, what is the issue?
What's your theory?
I really don't. I just think he's a mercurial player, and he's somewhat delicate from that standpoint.
Is he someone who would benefit from maybe a different strategy, even publicly, by the manager as far as how he handled him?
You're talking like a tough love strategy.
Well, just
Chris?
Like if there was a guy maybe that
I don't know, talk more like he did about Colin Holderman.
Right, talk
than
like he did
about
Holderman.
Guy.
Or in general, just somebody with more managerial experience and maybe I don't want to sound like mean to Shelton, but I also kind of am going to be mean to Shelton. Somebody with just more of a history who has won more. Like I remember Dan Clint Hurdle benching Andrew McCutchen for not running out like a pop up or whatever when McCutchen was a very much established player already. And it didn't really affect that relationship or the team. And I thought it won Clint Hurdle a lot of praise from people. And I just have seen very little of that from Derek Shelton where Cruz is concerned.
So this is where it absolutely becomes far more art than science. And many a good manager, and whether or not we consider Shelton that, I guess, is, you know, another conversation.
Well, I can answer that right now. I don't at the moment.
So do you push somebody or do you coddle somebody? I mean, knowing the difference in the personality dynamic of who you can do that with, that is the definition and probably the most important part of managing. Is Holderman somebody that can, for lack of a better term, take that or respond positively to it? Will he kind of puff up his chest and square up his shoulders and proceed to go on the injury list with a wrist injury? But you know what I mean? Like, does that further bury Cruz?
Let me ask you this. If what they have been doing thus far with O'Neill Cruz, by and large, is coddling, because I don't think I've heard, like, a true tough love situation about him, are they getting enough out of that strategy to make it a viable one moving forward? I would argue no, because some of the same stuff that's been driving people nuts, whether it's errors, whether it's the occasional trot out of the box, is still happening. And I say that as a guy that thinks this guy could be the anchor of a good team or a very good lineup because he's so talented, but I don't think they're getting a lot of ROI on their current approach with him.
So does that mean that you go completely 180 degrees to the opposite
direction? You don't have to go taskmaster.
Let's go 45 or 90.
How about, like, O'Neill, that's not good enough. Like, if you're trying to stretch it, like, and Dan, you know me, we've talked off the air. I'm not a guy who, if he hits a one-hop smash that gets fielded right at the first base bag, I expect him to sprint through the base like a fake hustle guy. But if you're already thinking, I'm going to try to stretch this into a double, then yes, I think it's reasonable to ask that you be digging right out of the box.
Yeah, and, you know, it's whether or not you know what is not going to work. So why venture into space that you know that's not going to work? Just to say that you tried it, I don't know. I would venture a guess, and again, I don't know all the buttons that you can push with a guy like O'Neal Cruz, but based on their past history, and again, it's a valid argument as to whether or not what they're doing is working, by going to the opposite direction or publicly calling him out, I'm going to guess that that's going to throw him into a shell and throw him into a tizzy, because he himself has publicly come out and mentioned that he's not in a good headspace at times. So I think it's fairly logical, and you could apply common sense to, if you did something to O'Neal Cruz like you did with Colin Holderman, that's probably not going to have the desired result. And to just say, I'm going to try it anyway, I'm not necessarily sure that's the path. It's tough to manage a player in this day and age and in this generation. And there's a lot of head coaches and a lot of managers that have gotten out of it because of that reason, because of reasons just like this. They have more jack players do than they ever have, and some tactics that may have worked in the past 5, 10, 15 years ago just don't seem to resonate. So, again, far more art than science and a lot of unknowns as to how you can get through to guys in this day and age. It's harder than ever, and I would say that, you know, this is a pretty good real-life walking example of that.
Dan, we'll have the leadoff show. It's a late one tonight. It's after the football game, so flip over for it. 10-10 first pitch. Mitch Keller against Jake Flaherty of the Dodgers. All right, Dan, thank you.
Guys, appreciate it.
It's actually Jack Flaherty. Jake Flaherty's a guy that I went to college with.
Update on your Spencer Lee stuff from Vince DiAugustine, champion wrestler in his own right. One of Westmoreland County's finest scholastic athletes who went on to a great career at St. Vincent.
Congratulations on all his success.
Did Spencer Lee come close to winning, or was it pretty decisive? Not decisive at all. He was winning over half the match. I said, interesting, Pony is suggesting that the fix was in.
Put it out there.
Not at all.
I wanted that to
Nothing questionable.
Okay.
Says Vince.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Well, didn't Bob Labriola pioneer the asked and answered column? You asked if it was fixed. I answered it for you.
Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. Our Pony and Muller PM team, unofficial pregame show, starts next for Steelers and Texans. Don't go anywhere. Quick timeout, and we're right back on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.